My name's Will.
And my name's Steve.
You haven't got time to read War and Peace.
Even if it is one of the greatest novels of all time.
587,000 words.
612 grams.
That's the weight of the book.
500 characters.
361 chapters.
3 volumes.
2 epilogues.
And a collection of maps. We're going to summarise all of it for you.
This is War and Peace
in just 7 years.
We're just sitting here on our phones.
We're just sitting on our phones. We should probably start the podcast, Will.
Quite a lazy intro, this one. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hi, Steve.
How are you?
I'm good, thanks, mate. How are you?
Do you think that intro is going to start?
Will it work?
Will it work? Probably. Hope so. Anyway.
It's done.
If it doesn't, I'm just going to say it again. Hello, welcome to the podcast.
Hello.
It's nice to have you here.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to War and Peace in just 7 years.
Great to see you. Great to see you here.
Great to see you here. Yeah. Good stuff. On fire.
Clearly, me and Will have got a bit of practice chat to do.
We have.
I'll just get it going now.
Mm.
I can say this at least. I know this needs to happen.
Go on.
Will.
Yeah.
What happened last week?
Oh, it was a tough episode.
Was it?
Yeah, it was tough. It was tough reading it.
For you. It was hard for you.
It was hard for me. It was hard for me last week. It was two men really getting to grips with what it means to be alive.
Alive. It's very, religious, theological.
Existential.
Existential, all these things.
All those things.
It's like a big, long lecture at maybe Oxford University, theological department.
It might have been that, yeah. And of course, the first half was about Pierre's failure or success, depending on how you see it, with freeing his serfs.
From his perspective,
exactly.
Very successful.
Yeah, big tick.
From their perspective,
reality,
less successful.
Arguably a failure.
Arguably, from their perspective, a complete failure. Worst thing that could have happened.
Oh, yeah. But look, we learned that Pierre doesn't really understand anything about his vast estate and his money. Not a clue.
No, and that's why these things happen.
That's why they happen. And then he went to see his friend Andy Pandy, and then, whew, we were in the, I think people deserve to be serfs, and I don't think they do, and it went on and on and
debate.
On.
It was a debate.
It was dark.
And did it end, though, with Andy having a sort of respect for Pierre's Freemasonry? Don't think he became a Freemason.
No, he definitely didn't become a Freemason, but there's this lovely moment where Andy looked at the sky and was kind of happy again, like his life was in perspective, even though it was very clear in the book that he made no changes to his life.
Sure.
He felt something.
It might not be the long-term revelation that we were hoping for Andy. Well, we'll have to see. We will have to see.
It was described as the most important epoch of Andy's life.
Well, let's find out.
Let's find out, mate. Onwards.
The reading.
I'm going to search for untruths about Russia.
Oh, kind of fake news about Russia.
Yeah, because of all the fake news I've inadvertently been spreading.
Where have you been? To Kiev?
The report deconstructs 16 of the most prevalent myths. This is not for comedy.
I don't think we're a sort of report analysis sort of podcast.
No, it's about the relationship with the Kremlin.
Why don't you look up where the...
This isn't working. It's not working, this bit.
It's not good. It's not right. Why don't you look up where Chicken Kiev's came from?
All right. I love that.
That's more our level.
Yeah.
All right. You can tell us afterwards.
Chicken Kiev, the world's most contested ready meal.
Okay.
Was it invented in Kiev, Moscow, Paris, or the back room of a British supermarket?
What an important debate.
All right, the Liverpool Echo, they've run a story on this.
Okay. Not a big newspaper, by the way, if you're not familiar with the Liverpool Echo.
No.
I'm sure it's big in Liverpool.
Yeah. Oh, my God. What's the answer?
You found nothing out, Will. Can I just say that now?
It's too hard. 10 things you don't know about the humble chicken Kiev. Oh, God, you have to pay. What? Who's paying for the Kiev information?
Well, I'm not going to finish this until you give us some interesting piece of information about the chicken Kiev. I'm hoping to do with War and Peace also.
I'm going to have to sign up to something.
Drain the blood from the men's veins.
This is the strangest conversation we've ever had. Who made the chicken Kiev? Okay. I've got something. Nicolas Francois Appert. And he's French.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. He devised a method of preserving food in bottles.
Yeah.
And won 12,000 francs from Napoleon Bonaparte.
Oh, it does relate.
Oh, yeah. And is credited with creating the forerunner. Oh, for God's sake.
Well, he'll do.
The chicken
We're going
Kiev.
With it. Fantastic, wonderful stuff. And look, it does relate to War and Peace.
Yeah, it does.
Thank you very much. Well, I haven't got a quote. Oh, I have got a quote, actually.
All right.
Oh, very glad. Kiss me. Wonderful stuff.
Wonderful. Carl, that was a real roller coaster, that reading. I feel stressed. Usually that's the bit where I get to relax.
I would have said it would have been easy to find out some sort of information about where Chicken Kiev's came from. Who knew it was so hard?
The most contested ready meal of all time.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. Steve, look, you've just read a bit of War and Peace, book 5 nonetheless.
Yeah.
Why don't you just tell us?
Okay, I will tell you, Will.
Thank you.
And everyone else. So we're still with good old Pierre and good old Andy Pandy.
Good.
They've been travelling. Do you remember last time they were on the way to the Bald Hills house?
Yeah, they were on their way to hang out with Andy's sister and that lot.
Exactly, yeah. So they've been travelling from the other house to the other house.
Oh, yeah.
They've been travelling for ages. They've got over a river on a raft.
Wow.
It's like an old car ferry precursor thing.
Yeah.
They've been chatting, as we know, about God. They've been doing all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And now, finally, it's dusk.
God.
That's just how long they've been travelling for.
Wow.
And they're pulling up to Nasty Nick's wonderful mansion where so much has happened.
They can see him sneezing from afar.
No, they can't, Will, because he's not there.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He's not there. More importantly, there's something strange going on the porch. There's a real commotion on the porch. A woman, bent with age, with a wallet on her back, and a short, long-haired young man.
Hang on. A wallet,
sure, yeah,
on her back.
That's what she's got on her back, is a wallet. Yeah,
is she just for safekeeping?
It doesn't go into details. That's where she keeps
her
wallet.
It doesn't go into details.
Well, where do you keep your wallet?
I guess that's a fair enough question. Pocket.
Yeah. Keep it in your pocket. She keeps it on her back. So people do things differently.
I guess if she's perpetually bent.
Yeah,
it's the most
perfect
of it.
Play. People just take the money
the
out that they need when she goes. Just
wallet's on my back.
Wallet's on the back. You can see it because it's eye level. So she's got a wallet on her back.
Yeah.
And she's with a friend. She's with a short, long-haired young man in a black garment.
Right, where's his wallet?
Doesn't say where his wallet is. I assume it's just maybe just in a pocket or a bag. Or
on his head.
Maybe he doesn't even have one.
Yeah, might not.
So the short-haired young man in the black garment had rushed back to the gate on seeing the carriage driving up.
You've got to see this woman. She's got her wallet on her back.
They're mates. He's seen it all before.
Oh, they're good friends.
So, Will, who are all these strange people? I know you haven't got much information. Sure. Who are all these strange people scampering around on the porch?
Why, it's the wallet circus.
Okay, it's a good guess.
They're in town.
No, it's not them. Those are Mary's god folk.
Okay.
God's folk. They have mistaken us for my father. This is the one matter in which she disobeys him, which I respect.
Right.
He orders them to be driven away, the God's folk.
Yeah.
But she receives them. This is sort of Mary's pet project.
Why? Because her dad's away, she's allowed to have her wallet friends over.
I think something like that. Something a bit like that, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Usually Dad doesn't let me have the wallet woman.
Normally she does exactly what he asks. He tells her to do. So
she's breaking the rules.
But this one thing, this is what she breaks the rules for.
I will never not hang out with that woman who has her wallet on her back.
So, Will, have you got any questions so far?
Yeah. It's going to be about the wallet, isn't it?
What's the question? Your question about the wallet,
is it? It's impossible that it's about anything else.
Right.
Yeah. Should I say it?
If you like.
Why is there a wallet on her back?
Well, okay. It's a good question. Pierre's got a question as well.
Does he?
I have to say, it's not the same as your question.
Amazing that it's not.
Pierre's question is, but what are God's folk?
Oh, that's a really good question. Yeah, that was my second question.
I was like, just like you, his first question, your second, it's wonderful stuff.
Yeah.
Well, Will,
yep.
I'd love to tell Pierre, and I'd love to tell you what God's folk are,
right?
Who, what they are.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, simply, there's no time right
okay.
now. Because the old prince has gone to town, and he could be back at any moment.
we've got to hide her.
Well, we've got to do stuff.
We've got to hang out quick with the wallet people.
There's no time for explanation around that because...
we've got to enjoy ourselves.
The clock's ticking. So they all go inside. Pandy shows off his really great apartments to Pierre. They're very tidy.
Oh.
I assume because he's never there.
Oh, yeah.
And they're just constantly being cleaned. So he has a look around. They pop their head into the nursery. It's not clear if the baby's there or not. They have a look at the nursery.
This is where the baby lives. Where is the baby?
I assume there's a baby.
Know. Whatever.
I have a baby, by the way, I think. By
clean,
the way.
Huh? Look how clean it is.
Yeah. And then they have a look for Mary. Where is Mary?
She was with him before.
She was with him before, Will says. No, well, sort of. She is hiding, sitting with her God's folk.
Oh, she's taken the wallet people somewhere
That's
else.
That's right. It will serve her right. She will be confused, but you will see her God's folk. That's in quotes.
Yeah.
It's really very curious.
What the hell is going on?
Pierre says, what are God's folk?
Pierre? It's such a valid question now. Now I want to know more than anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're curious about the wallet thing still, I think, aren't
Going to be asking questions about that episode.
It could just be an old word for a bag.
It
sure.
Could be.
But the possibility remains that that woman is a sellotape.
Yeah.
A wallet to her back.
Yeah. It's an early 19th century security
thing. Yeah. Anyway, come and have a look. Andy says, come and have a look at these God's folk.
Come and have a look at these weirdos.
So, Will, what are, or maybe is, what is God's folk?
Were you struggling for content today? What's going on?
No, not at all, Will. It's a perfectly fulsome and interesting couple of chapters.
Did you feel this intrigued when you were reading it?
Yes, I did, Will. Yes,
okay.
I did.
All right.
And I'll say to you now that, there is a lot going on in these two chapters. Thank you very much.
Right.
It's certainly not.
Yeah.
Certainly not a couple of filler chapters.
No.
Oh, No.
We've got to get to the bottom of the mystery.
What is God's folk, Will?
Yeah, I don't know. You just keep asking.
I thought you might have a funny guess. But
no, it's impossible for me to guess when I just keep seeing a woman bent over with a little wallet on her back.
Well, okay then. All right then. Well, let's find out for some more information.
Please give us some.
They wander around the house a bit. Eventually they find Mary. She was in her snug all along, the snug room.
Right.
The lamps are burning before the icon stand.
Okay.
Which is like
all her religious stuff.
Religious stuff.
Yeah.
Well illuminated.
That's obviously where the God folk would be drawn.
I think that's, you're right. They are there.
Yeah.
That is got.
They'd love that room.
They like that stuff.
Yeah.
Mary's face is not explained why. Her face is red and blotchy.
Okay.
And so I'll set the scene for you a little bit. There's a young boy there and he's dressed as a monk and he's got.
In fancy dress.
It's not particularly fancy. It's just
he's a very young monk.
He's a young young monk.
Yeah.
He's got a long nose and long hair.
Okay.
And he's hiding behind, well, he's sort of just behind a samovar.
All right, what's that?
You tell me. And it's not because there's nothing happening in this episode, Will.
Yeah.
It's just because I'd like you to guess.
A samovar?
Yeah.
So there's a little monk. Or it's a boy dressed as a monk.
Something like that, yeah.
Something like that. One of the two, yeah. Whatever. Yeah, fine. So it's a little boy dressed up as a monk and he's hidden or stood behind a samovar.
Samovar, yeah.
Samovar. It's probably a vase. Like, they're always hiding behind plants.
Yeah, it's not a bad guess. It is actually quite benign. It's like a huge metal teapot. A tea urn. It's a tea urn.
Okay. All right. So there's a little child dressed as a monk hid behind a tea urn.
Something like that. Or standing behind one near one.
Wowzers. This is rich.
So there's that guy. And there's also a thin, shriveled old woman.
Right.
I think that's the wallet.
I think that's wallet woman.
She's got a meek expression on her childlike face.
You haven't seen my wallet, have you?
It's on my back. It's always on my back.
Oh, I forgot. It's on my back. Don't worry. It's on my back.
Mary stood before her pilgrims like a hen before her chickens.
Cool. It's a very strange image.
It is, isn't it? I thought a hen was chickens.
Like a hen before her
this
chickens.
This isn't in my notes.
Yeah,
by
yeah
way.
This is a question.
I just thought a hen was chickens.
Do you want to go off on a tangent because you haven't got anything to say?
No, not at all. There's loads of content in this wonderful episode and I hope everyone's having a great time.
So you're saying if hens are chickens, some chickens are hens, all hens are... Oh, I'm not doing that because someone will write in and I have to apologise
well,
next week.
You can't live like that. You've just got to be yourself.
It's got me. It's affected me.
If yourself is 90% fake news...
Just go with it.
Just go with it, mate.
Just go with it.
Yes, Will. It's a couple of good and honest pilgrims who have come for a casual visit to one of the richest families in
right.
Russia.
Oh, do they want money?
I didn't say that.
I bet they want money.
No, I didn't say that.
All right.
I didn't say that at all. I said the pilgrims are visiting.
They've just come. They've come to see Mary's religious cupboard.
And it's great that they're here.
It is.
Unfortunately, though, not everyone agrees.
Right.
Andrew Pandrew.
It's always going to be Andy. Get out!
He's not very welcoming to these good, honest pilgrims.
He's just had a moment, an existential moment of beauty, like about an hour ago.
Sure.
Now he's like, get out.
No, it's not quite that. He's quite sarcastic about them, and he talks about them behind their backs in French, stuff like that.
Yeah.
It was evident that Prince Andrew's ironical tone towards the pilgrims and Princess Mary's helpless attempts to protect them were their customary long-established relations on the matter.
Yeah, he's being sarky.
Yeah, these pilgrims, they always come in.
Yeah.
He's always taking the mickey out of them.
Here we go. Look, she's got a wallet on her back. Doesn't make any sense.
And so that, what we've had there with the pilgrims, that's sort of like the A plot of the episode.
Is that, just to clarify, sorry to interrupt you, is that little story all wrapped up there?
It's not over.
Okay, I didn't feel satisfied from that.
There's a bit more.
There has to be something else.
But it's not going to seem like it, but what I'm about to say is the B plot for the episode.
That's your main thread.
Keep that in your mind.
Yeah.
The pilgrim stuff, that's the A
plot. That little kid dressed as a monk in the teapot.
Stuff like that. Well, I've got a good twist on that, but...
Oh, hello.
But this is the B plot starting now, up. Mary uses her beautiful radiant eyes to tell Pierre, this is communicated through the eyes, I like you very much, but please don't laugh at my people.
Don't laugh at teapot boy.
Please be nice to the wallet lady and teapot boy.
Please. Everyone needs somewhere safe for their wallet, and it just so happens that she's at a natural right angle.
Well,
it makes sense.
Well, hold that thought, because I've got an incredible twist for you now on the A plot. It's really going to rock your world.
Okay. So, sorry, B plot is Mary and Pierre getting it on with their eyes.
What is it? That's the plot element. We'll have to find out.
Yeah, that feels like the A plot in this, but I don't want to correct you.
Maybe it's not quite what you think.
Okay.
Here's a twist. A twist coming up now.
Right.
I don't, people don't normally say that.
How
I know,
could
but,
there be a twist?
Anyway, I'll read it in French and see if you speak French, you'll get the twist.
Here we go.
Il faut que vous sachiez que c'est une femme.
The teapot. Uh-huh. It's not a teapot. It's one of her mates. It's someone in a teapot outfit. And he goes, hello, happy to see you. I'm Billy, the teapot.
That's far too many words. just doesn't really
hold up. Yeah, but they could have French words that mean loads of stuff. Like German do that.
They don't have a French word that means, hello, I'm your teapot friend, do they?
I don't know.
No, they don't.
All right, then. Well, put me out of my misery.
This is Andrew speaking. He says, you must know this is a woman.
Who's he pointing at?
The monk boy.
Oh, right. Okay, that's the twist.
That's a twist.
It's not a little child.
It is. Well, possibly. We don't know how old they are, but it's not a boy. It's a girl pretending to be a boy, it seems.
Okay, right.
It's incredibly, to be honest, when you're reading it, it's quite confusing.
Mm.
And I think there's probably something lost in translation there.
Almost certainly.
To do with the names and things like that. But it's been lost.
And who calls it out?
Andrew Pandrew.
Right, okay, because he wants to be mean. He wants to cause a bit of shock.
He's taking the mickey, but what is strange about it, in Tolstoy's text, the pronouns are he, when they're talking about the monk before this point, and then afterwards it changes to she.
Okay.
So I'm led to believe that actually the monk boy is a she.
No, you seem to have done a pretty bang-up job there on your detective work.
Look, case closed.
Case closed.
Anyway, her name, the monk boy, the monk girl, is Ivanushka.
Ivanushka, great name.
She's looking around with crafty, sly eyes.
Is she going to nick something?
Meanwhile, the incredibly old woman, her name is Pelageia.
Is this relevant? Do I have to write these down?
It's helpful to know people's names. It's just nice, isn't it? It's just common courtesy.
Also, we are trying to get close to that 500 number. Do you reckon they count?
500 characters?
Mm.
Yeah, I think they count. And also, it just helps me just to get the episode
Get through it.
Pelageia, she is casting side glances whilst nibbling on some sugar.
Like a little horse.
So, Will, what the heck are these two doing here? What could they possibly want?
Money.
You think they want money?
Oh, it's got to be money or sugar. I mean, they've got sugar already.
Well, they've got sugar.
Money.
Tea.
Tea. They've got a big teapot.
They've got tea. They're drinking it.
They've got sugar for the tea. They've got sugar for snacks. I think they want money.
Actually, Will, you're wrong.
Oh, they want salvation.
They want nothing. They only want to give things.
Oh, right.
They've come with fantastic, incredible news.
There's a fiver in my wallet my back.
It's better than that.
All right.
If you can believe it.
Right.
They've got incredible news. These are actually not your bog standard pilgrims. These are traveling pilgrims. And actually, as I say that, I realize that probably pilgrims means traveling
Almost
pilgrims.
Certainly.
Anyway,
yeah.
Look.
To be a pilgrim means you have to travel a lot.
Move on.
Yeah.
Move on. These traveling pilgrims, you could just say pilgrims.
Yep.
They've come from Kiev.
They've come from Kiev,
yeah.
They might incorrectly think that's where chicken Kievs are made.
they might.
Yeah.
They might, if they hadn't listened to this podcast.
It's parrots.
They've come from Kiev and they've got some, quite frankly, they've got some great news. Ivanushka, trying to speak in a bass voice, said, "Just at Christmas time, I was deemed worthy to partake of the holy and heavenly sacrament at the shrine of the saint. And now I'm from Kolyazin, Master, where a great and wonderful blessing has been revealed."
Well, that's that cleared up then.
Do you want to have any guesses what the miracle is?
Yeah, of course. I know the answer already.
Yeah.
She was traveling, or that place you mentioned, the details are irrelevant here.
Of course.
There's a snowman that the local children had made for to celebrate winter. I don't know
winter.
If it's Christmas, winter, whatever.
Christmas.
And then it
Christmas
came
time.
To life.
Okay, so
and he's here, he's outside.
You're saying basically the plot of The Snowman, the animated children's cartoon.
Now I think about it, it's that exactly.
Yeah, okay, well,
yeah.
I have to tell you, and I'm sorry to say this, Will, but you are wrong on this occasion. This is the blessing,
right.
The miracle. "A great blessing has been revealed. Holy oil trickles from the cheeks of our Blessed Mother, the Holy Virgin, Mother of God."
Okay. It's a bit more subtle than mine.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
And a bit less plagiarised, you could say. Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
What I'm loving about book five so far is that, like, you know, like when with Bilibin's letter and stuff like that, it was a real watershed moment. I think for us, all this time we've been being gaslit by the Russian army.
Just how rubbish they are.
How rubbish they are.
Yeah.
And I think that book five is, it's a time for dispersing myths.
Oh,
something like that, you know.
And I've been chastised myself for myths.
You have.
It really is the season for it.
It really comes together.
Yeah.
Pierre's in the room. He hears about the holy oil. He's got a few questions. "Did you see it yourselves?"
Good question.
Says Pierre.
He's being like a detective.
He's asking some questions. So
a really good first question for any miracle is, it just always has to be, did you actually see it?
Did you see it? Did it happen?
In brackets, did it actually happen?
Well, question one, did you see it yourselves? Here's the answer. "Oh yes, Master, I was found worthy. Such a brightness on the face like the light of heaven, and from the Blessed Mother's cheeks it drops."
Okay, tick. So tick.
You interrupted the end there.
I'm so sorry.
It drops and drops and drops.
Oh, they just keep saying drops.
Just says it twice.
Keeps going. Lot of oil. So that's a tick. That's a tick.
So what do you reckon? Do you think Pierre's convinced?
No, but that's a tick so far in the questioning.
Okay, yeah, she's answered that one.
Yeah.
And to that, Pierre says, "But dear me, that must be fraud." So Ivanushka and Pelagia, they've travelled quite a long way with this news. They're travelling pilgrims.
Yeah, exactly. They must be knackered. They're not taking that from Pierre, some dude they've just met
they're
with
not,
giant red hands.
Not. Lord
no.
Jesus Christ,
yeah.
Exclaimed the pilgrim woman.
I saw the statue,
crossing
I already
herself.
Told you.
"Don't speak so, Master. There was a general who did not believe."
Yeah.
"And said, the monks cheat. And as soon as he said it,
his head exploded.
He went blind."
Oh,
he went
boom.
Blind. And there's more, Will. There's more.
Boom. Yeah. Some dude said it wasn't true and his head blew up. and actually, my mate with the wallet on her back, didn't he? His head blew up.
He went blind. The general didn't believe.
Blew
he went
up.
Blind. And then he dreamed that the Holy Virgin Mother of the Kiev catacombs came to him and said, "Believe in me and I'll make you whole."
Wow.
So he begged, he said, take me to her.
Yeah.
"It's the real truth I'm telling you, I saw it myself."
Yeah, she saw that.
Yeah, there's more. So he was brought blind, quite blind, straight to her, and he goes up to her and falls down and says, "Make me whole."
Yeah.
"And I'll give thee what the Tsar bestowed on me."
Right.
The Tsar literally gave him something.
Pokemon card.
Not a Pokemon card, he gave him a star. That's what, because he's a general.
Easy to confuse.
The only thing we know about, but Pokemon is shiny Pokemon or something.
Yeah,
you can imagine.
It's similar.
You can't picture a star.
Similar things.
"I saw it myself, Master. The star is fixed to the icon."
Wow.
Do you understand what's happened, Will?
The star? No, not at all.
It took me a few. No, it's fine. It took me a few readings to understand. The general, he goes to the catacombs. He says to the icon, the statue.
Yep.
"Make me whole again, please.
Here's my Pokemon card."
And then suddenly, I think what happens is his general's star, his Pokemon card, if you will, is attached to the icon.
Oh, it just gets stuck to
just
it.
Just like that.
God.
Just like that.
Wow.
Well, what do you think?
What about that then,
He received his sight. It's a sin to speak, so God will punish you.
Oh, and he could see again after that as well?
Yeah.
Oh.
So what do you think of that, Will?
Yeah, seems convincing to me. And this monk saw all of that.
Do you think Pierre's convinced?
I don't think Pierre will be convinced, no. What about the right angle person? Are they just agreeing with this, the old lady with the wallet on her back?
She doesn't seem to say very much.
Do I think Pierre's convinced? If I'm being honest, I'm going to say no.
Okay, well, this is what Pierre says.
Yeah.
How did the star get into the icon?
Oh, a bit of blue tack on the back, mate.
Yeah. And Andy Pandy says, and was the Holy Mother promoted to the rank of general?
Oh, sorry.
Prince Andrew said with a smile. How do you think they take that?
Again, not well, because they've walked far, probably with low quality shoes as well. And also, the monk's very small, so that must have been knackering. Right. So I feel like they blow up.
They say,
how dare you? I saw that star, the blue tack on the back, the vegetable oil or whatever. I've seen it all.
They don't like this very much, to be honest with you, Will.
Yeah.
They don't like it at all.
Sure.
Oh, master, what a sin. And you have a son.
Yeah, how can you not believe us? You've got a son.
And you've got a son. She began, her pallor suddenly turning to a vivid red. Lord, forgive him, my dear. What does it mean?
Yeah, and good question.
She starts to get her stuff together. They both do.
Pick up all of our little things. Pick up your wallet.
Pick up your sugar cube.
Oh, the wallet's on my back.
They haven't probably got any stuff, but yeah, it's a good point.
Pick up all your bits. Quick.
I haven't got any bits.
I don't have any stuff with me.
And I respect them here because they are offended.
Yeah.
Their beliefs have been offended.
Yeah.
Andrew is not being nice. Pierre's asking questions. I think that's okay.
Pierre's asking questions. Andrew couldn't care less.
He's not a good energy, sure.
Is it fine for this episode to say I'm just Prince Andrew in this one?
Fine. Look,
I'm Prince Andrew here.
You can be.
You do one.
Well, look, and I respect that. They do... In the face of being kind of like abused, they do decide to leave.
Okay.
Evidently, they felt frightened and ashamed to have accepted charity in a house where such things could be said.
Oh, wow. They're really, really offended.
But just as they're leaving, Andy Pandy says, I was only joking. Don't go. I was joking. Come, Pelagea. I was joking. I did not mean anything. I was only joking. It was all my fault. And Andrew was only joking. That was Pierre talking. Everyone's only joking.
Everyone's joking. It's a big joke.
And Pierre is just so... And this is the B plot right now.
Mm.
Incredibly meek and nice and friendly and not a nice guy, really, you could
say. Big, red, strong.
Friendly, strong hands. That they decide not to go.
That's lovely.
And they decide to stay for one more chapter. And that's great.
That's amazing.
So that means we've got more pilgrim stories for you, Will, coming up.
We've got more. You're not going to believe the next tale.
So, well, don't worry. Even Tolstoy himself doesn't give us the full blow-by-blow account.
We'll just stop that bit there.
He gives us a summary, so I'm going to give you a summary. Yeah, there's a few more pilgrim stories. In short, there's a very holy guy. He is called Father Amyphlocus.
Okay.
And he's so religious and holy that his hands all the time, they smell of incense. Right.
It's always about oil, isn't it?
And then the old woman, she's also has a small tale about how she herself knew a guy in Kiev and managed to wangle a key into the catacombs where all the dead bodies are kept.
That's cool.
And she took some bread down there and she stayed there for 2 days.
Oh, I was going to say she fed them to the dead bodies.
No. She stayed down there for 2 days. It was absolutely great.
That sounds like a living nightmare.
No, it was great. She had a great time.
I'm glad she enjoyed herself.
Anyway,
bloody loved it. It was so fun down there. Honestly, completely pitch black, load of dead bodies. I've got a tiny bit of bread.
2 days.
Is that two
she
days
had
as
a great
well?
Time.
2 days.
She had a great time. She knows a guy that could get her into the catacombs.
I know a guy who could let you down there.
It was great.
He's great though. It's absolutely lovely down there. It's completely dark. You know what a catacomb is, full of dead bodies.
Yeah.
Two days you can stay down
underground,
there. Bit deep, of bread.
Yeah.
You'll love it. You've got to do it for at least 2 days.
So they're the two stories. I assume you don't need any more details on that.
No, that's the worst holiday ever, though.
It sounds bad.
Yeah.
Anyway, as the evening goes on, people make their excuses.
I'm going to do one, guys. Honestly, it's been fun, though. I'm glad you didn't leave. Don't want to be rude or anything, but I can't be bothered with this. And cheers, though.
Andy does that first.
Wow, is that the time? Oh, I'm just going to go.
And then shortly after that, even Mary and Pierre They make their excuses. They leave the pilgrims eating their tea.
Oh, you stay here? No, you guys stay here. Don't come with us.
And they go off for a chat together in the drawing room.
Hello. Is this plot C?
No, this is still the B plot. This is Pierre and Mary in the drawing room.
Okay.
Withdrawing to the drawing room. Originally called the withdrawing room.
Wow. And that's not a myth or a lie.
No, I heard it on an audiobook. Thank you. So we're in the drawing room with Mary and Pierre. And Mary starts just by saying, what a great guy Pierre is. I've known you for a long time, you see, and I'm as fond of you as a brother.
I love you. I think you're absolutely wicked.
Pierre apologises again. I mean, really, his just street cred is going up and up.
I'm so sorry for having to go at that wallet one.
I'm sorry. Yeah, he apologises for upsetting the pilgrims.
That's
I understand
nice.
Them so well and have the greatest respect for them.
Mm. I actually freed I don't want to go into it now, but I actually freed all the serfs.
It's not a big thing. Anyway.
Hey.
They're free now.
I don't want to show off. I'm a big deal. Quite a big deal.
Anyway.
Whatever. Look at the size of my hand.
They spend a couple of moments just looking at each other with silent affection.
That's so odd.
And
it's such an odd thing to do.
Anyway, look, the reason they went out of the room, it was all contrived by Mary. Mary just wanted to have this little chat.
Okay.
Nothing comes of this. So I'll tell you
good.
What happens.
It's good to be honest.
But
thank you.
Nothing at all comes of this. I'll tell you about it. This is the chat. How do you find Andrew? How do you find Andrew, Will?
Well, he's up and down. He's pretty...
He's up and down.
At points, I'm worried he's evil.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's troubled guy, troubled chap, troubled lad.
How do you find Andrew, she added hurriedly, not giving him time to reply to her affectionate words. I am very anxious about him. His health was better in the winter, but last spring his wound reopened and the doctor said he ought to go away for a cure. And I am also very much afraid for him spiritually.
Yeah, mentally.
He has not a character like us women who, when we suffer, we can weep away our sorrows.
Bottling it in.
He's bottling it in. A bit like his dad.
Oh, yeah.
We could have got it from his dad.
But his dad sneezes it out.
That's true. His dad has got the sneeze release valve.
It's really useful.
He keeps it all within him.
Yeah.
Today he is cheerful and in good spirits, but that is the effect of your visit. He's not often like that.
He was only happy today having a go at those pilgrims.
He really enjoyed.
He loved it.
Making fun of those pilgrims.
I haven't seen him this happy in weeks.
If you could persuade him to go abroad, he needs activity and this quiet regular life is very bad for him.
Isn't abroad just going to war?
Yes, I think probably that.
Sure.
Or Disneyland, another trip to Disneyland. I don't know.
Yeah.
His regular life is very bad for him. Others don't notice it, but I see it. What comes of that? We'll never know because
the house explodes.
Because it's 10 o'clock and that means Nasty Nick is in the house. He's home.
Achoo!
Hot diggity.
I smell pilgrims. Kick them out.
Towards 10 o'clock, the men servants rush to the front door, hearing the bells of the old prince's carriage approaching.
Achoo! Achoo! Achoo!
Prince Andrew and Pierre also went out to the porch.
Amazing stuff.
Nasty Nick sees Pierre standing there on the porch, or sees someone standing there, a stranger standing there on the porch, and he's like,
I'm coming for you, son.
Who the hell is that?
Yeah,
who the hell is that?
Napoleon.
So, Will, you know, you've sort of said it, but does Nasty Nick like surprises?
No, spontaneity? Of course not. It's 10 o'clock on the dot. Who is this? It's an enemy. It's an enemy. Sneeze at him.
Well, strangely, this is the B plot.
Mm.
Having learned who the young stranger was, Pierre, he said, "Ah, very glad. Kiss me."
And they have a big smooch.
They have a little kiss, I suppose.
Lovely.
Nasty Nick is in a fantastic mood.
Oh, wow. He must have had some guy hanged earlier on.
Something like
for
that.
For a misdemeanor.
For a minor misdemeanor, like jaywalking or such.
I am just so happy today.
He's in a fantastic mood. Pierre is also a great guy.
Yeah.
He thinks that Pierre's such a great guy that they spend the whole evening before supper having just a good old debate.
What time do they eat?
Later on.
Later on. Very late.
Very late.
Got home
at 10
late.
Now they're having this debate.
Yeah.
Incredibly late, actually. Too late.
God,
really.
They're always debating. Must be so tiring.
Well, here's the debate of the evening. Pierre was maintaining that a time would come when there would be no more wars.
Oh, that sounds like such a good time.
The old prince disputed it chaffingly, but without getting angry.
Steve, not to paraphrase that, but would you say they were discussing war.
Yes.
And peace.
In short, you could say that. In short, yeah. they were discussing war and peace.
Yeah.
You know, you could say Pierre was maintaining that a time would come in the book when there would be no more wars.
The peace bit.
Yeah. We'll have to see, won't we?
We'll have to see.
Do stick around.
Please do.
Only 10 books to go.
We're getting there. We are getting there.
Drain the blood from the men's veins and put water in them instead. Then there will be no more war.
What the hell does that mean?
Old woman's nonsense, old woman's nonsense, he repeated.
Oh, he's like Andy, isn't he? Everyone's evil. Doesn't matter what you do to the world, everyone will just want to have wars forever.
I mean, if he was in control, that would be true.
Yes, if there are just people like you,
yeah.
Then yes.
Old woman's nonsense, old woman's nonsense. He repeats this, but he still patted Pierre affectionately on the shoulder.
But I do like you, Pat, Pat.
Andy Pandy comes in. They have a quick chat about some military business. Count Rostov, the marshal, he's in around. And he hasn't sent half of his contingent.
This is Nicky.
I think so. This is Nicky. Yeah.
Yeah.
He asked Nasty Nick to go for dinner. They didn't go to dinner.
I couldn't be bothered.
They didn't know because he's angry at him.
Yeah, I don't want him because he's terrible at doing a bit of war. Contingent. Whatever. Not going.
But he's around. The old prince went on, addressing his son and patting Pierre on the shoulder. A fine fellow, your friend. I like him. He stirs me up. Another says clever things and one doesn't care to listen, but this one talks rubbish, yet stirs an old fellow up. Well, go, get along. Perhaps I'll come and sit with you at supper. We'll have another dispute.
I like this one. He's stupid.
He's stupid and I like
And he's friendly and he makes me happy feeling.
Do you remember how in previous chapters, I think it's probably fair to say Nick hasn't been the most supportive father to Mary.
I think that's very fair to say.
Somewhat undermining of her self-confidence occasionally.
Controlling every single aspect of
and
her waking
that as well,
life.
And that.
So she sort of lives in a perpetual nightmare.
Sure. Well, as Pierre and Andy are going off to supper or somewhere, Nasty Nick just shouts out, "Make friends with my little fool, Princess Mary."
I just feel like they're going to get married now, Steve. I feel like I've picked it apart. I've worked it out.
But you never know with Tolstoy if there's just going to be a marriage in the next line.
Usually completely. It would happen like that.
If it's going to happen.
They were married and lived happily for 48 years.
I think if it's going to happen, it's going to happen in this chapter.
That is true. That is true. It's how Tolstoy likes to play it.
And Will, I know you're going to say things to me like, when I say the next thing, I know you're going to say things to me like, nothing's happened.
Yeah.
There was no plot to speak of.
What was the point?
Surely that's not it.
Yep. Yeah.
Stuff like that.
But you're about to end, are you?
But yes, this is nearly the end of the chapter.
Okay.
The chapters.
Mm.
Here we're really reaching now the crux. I wish I could say that the ending was much more satisfying
and
tied up the A and the B plot and so on. But
wasn't
look,
this serialized? Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. Look, so this is the crux now of certainly the B plot.
Okay.
The A plot was the pilgrims are here.
Yeah, we dealt with them.
That's nicely wrapped up.
Yeah, they had some great stories.
And the B plot all along was that Pierre is a bloody great guy.
Ah, do you know what? I'm happy with that. Is that the B plot all tidied up?
nearly.
Okay,
very
good.
Nearly tidied up.
Good.
That is the B plot.
Great.
Yeah, he's a bloody great guy. I quote, they were all fond of him already.
Love him.
Though he had scarcely known them, Pierre at once felt like an old friend.
Oh, this is lovely.
Mary, who had been won by his gentleness with the pilgrims.
Yeah.
And is giving him her most radiant looks.
Ah, oh, they love looking at each other. What a nice, if not odd, thing to do.
Michael Ivanovich.
Michael Ivanovich!
And Mademoiselle Bourienne are looking at him with...
They're clapping.
They're looking at him.
Love him.
Maybe they're clapping, but also they've got pleasant smiles.
So sweet. Michael Ivanovich saying, I'll design you a house if you want, mate.
For free.
I'll do it for free because I bloody love you.
Even the baby will.
Oh, the baby's there clapping for this guy. The baby's clapping him. He loves him.
The baby smiled at Pierre and let himself be taken in his arms. The baby loves him, Will.
And babies famously don't do that for anyone.
that's not all, Will.
What?
There's it's not just
more?
The baby. It's not just Mademoiselle Bourienne, Michael Ivanovich, Mary, Pierre, Andy, probably, possibly. It's not all.
No.
There's Nasty Nick as well.
He's there clapping away, big tuba. Bum, bum,
bum, bum. Nasty Nick rushes, cruelest man, most emotionally detached father, probably.
Evil sneezer.
He's come down to supper. Quote, this was evidently on Pierre's account.
Wow. Good stuff.
And I've got two more quotes just to wrap this fantastic B plot up.
Are there two quotes about people liking Pierre?
Yes.
Good.
During the 2 days of the young man's visit, Nick was extremely kind to him and told him to visit again.
Great. Is that going to happen next week?
Possibly next week. Who knows?
Wow.
And then, you know, when you've been at a place.
Oh.
And you've met people.
Do I?
And then you leave.
Yeah.
And you talk about them and they talk about you.
Yeah.
What do you think people say about you, Will? What sort of thing? Nice guy or...
Oh, they'll be like...
He was loud or...
Oh, he just wouldn't shut up, would
wouldn't
he?
Stop talking about his podcast.
Not going to listen to it.
It's too niche.
Steve, I don't want to butt in and guess parts of the book.
You're
out
welcome
of
to.
Turn.
You're welcome. You're very welcome to.
But are you about to say in behind Pierre's back, they were just going, that guy... Oh, love him. And then someone's going, no, I love him more than you.
When Pierre had gone and the members of the household met together, they began to express their opinions of him as people always do.
Yeah.
After a new acquaintance has left, but seldom, as happens, no one said anything but what was good of him. And that, Will, that is the end of the B-plot.
Amazing stuff.
It's the summary, summary. Okay, well, you've had ample time throughout the duration of that small musical sting.
To summarize. If anything, a little too much.
A little too long. Have you got your summary ready?
I've got my summary ready. I'm excited to deliver the goods.
Good. You're feeling mentally and verbally strong.
Verbally, mentally, physically.
All right, then. I've got 10 seconds on the clock. In 3, 2, 1...
Pierre's perfect pilgrim party. There's an old lady with a wallet on her back and a small monk person telling stories near a bookcase. Do you like Pierre? Yes, I like Pierre. What about you? Yeah, I like Pierre. Mary, Andy, Borier, Nutty Nick, right angle woman, monk person, the staircase. Everyone likes Pierre. Okay.
Very good stuff.
Well, I read that. I read that so quickly. Hurt myself.
I think you did really well there, Will, to get both the A and the B plots into your summary, because there was a lot there.
I actually went over 10 seconds as well.
I'm not surprised, because there was a lot of sometimes this happens in War and Peace.
You just get these little wonderful, not surreal, sort of surreal, I guess. These little things just happen very quickly and nothing happens around it.
They seem inconsequential at the time, but who knows? Who knows where this stuff is going to go?
But maybe it's not inconsequential. It's nice. Pierre was having a weird time.
Yeah,
no, and
that's
now
true.
Everyone likes him.
Yeah, we've been following Pierre around basically so far in this book.
Yeah.
And he's gone through a lot of stuff.
He's shot his mate and his wife's left him.
Sure. And he freed the serfs.
He's having a good time.
And now he's found his people, which is nice.
They love him.
They love him, which is great.
They love him.
Yeah.
And boy, do they love him. The only thing I've got out of this episode, you've drilled it into me, you've conditioned me.
Yeah.
They like Pierre.
That's straight from the Tolstoy's mouth.
That is fact. It's War and Peace fact.
Well, I've got some more facts for you, Will.
Oh, what a link. Go on.
Really. A few weeks ago, we had that lovely message from Nikki, and she was saying that she has been listening to War and Peace in just 7 years while she's been cleaning this vast, never-ending warehouse.
Oh, yeah, and she was listening to the show in this empty palace.
That's how I imagine it. Yeah. That's how I remember it.
Yeah.
Well, we asked our patrons the same question, and we got some great responses. I love these images, by the way, of where the different places that people listen to the podcast. Jessica, she works in a rare book library.
Unbelievable. She's so more qualified than us to do this show.
It's kind of embarrassing, really.
It really is.
So she says she's listened to the podcast while shelving in the stacks, which she says it just so casually, but it's like a...
You wouldn't know. You wouldn't get it.
It's rare library lingo.
Wow, with those gloves.
Shelving in the stacks.
I was just shelving stuff in the stacks.
And she says she's surrounded by manuscripts that are centuries older than Tolstoy himself, if you can imagine such a thing.
That's just so cool.
I'm going to say it's diplomat, actually.
It's so diplomat. And we've got one from Ethan, who's listened in the barn They're slightly different, different setup.
We've got the oldest library in the world.
Now we're in a barn with Ethan and their horses. And Ethan specifically mentions the horses' favourite parts are the bits where Darren's mentioned.
Obviously. And you know what? Maybe I'm a horse, you know, because that's my favourite part too.
Thank you so much for those wonderful messages. We love people getting in contact with us, and especially we love our patrons. And if you'd like to support this show, get yourself over to patreon.com/WAPIN7. There's a whole bunch of exclusive content. There's essentially a mini episode after every episode, and it's called The Debrief.
It's just an incredible number of extra small episodes.
It's tiny. It's great. You'd be supporting us. Everyone's incredible. I don't have anything else to say, but I'm getting louder and I feel like I'm getting towards thing.
Go. Music.
Done.
Play the music. This bit, normally we say, you know...
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, we'd say thank you. You only ever say thank you enough.
Hang on, let me say thank you. Thank you.
So, thank you for listening to the show.
Cheers.
Thank you for being a patron, if you are a patron.
Legend.
But, you know, we've already said that about patrons, so...
Free time.
I think you know, as people say in Zoom meetings, we'll give you this time back.
We'll give you this time back. Why don't we just circle back, take this offline.
Vis-a-vis. Yeah. See you next week.
Yeah, leave cool. Are you sure? Absolutely.
Goodbye.
Bye.